Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
Thank you, Favor, and welcome. So excited to bring the word today. What a great message last Sunday with Pastor Ron and Lynette. It was so practical and so powerful. You know, I love when the word of God becomes so practical, but so life-changing. And that word on faith was just encouraging and life-giving to me. And today, I believe we have another message that's going to be, again, very practical, very solidly biblical, based on the promises of God, but practical not only to our lives personally, but also you're going to find it practical to the culture around us. We live in a time when there's just a lot of offense and anger and boiling up emotions, both because of the racial injustice unrest that's going on, as well as the upcoming election. And we just see that divide going deeper between Republicans and Democrats, liberals and progressive and conservatives. But here in our church, we've chosen to be a big tent church that includes people from all walks of life and all sides. And so to do that, we need to learn how to get along together. And the Bible gives clear instructions, and one of those things is forgiveness, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're going back to our Love Is series, and today we're talking from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, that love is not irritable, and it's not resentful. And what we're going to discover is that not being resentful really means being forgiving. And so we're going to look at what does it mean to be forgiving, what is it, or why are we forgiving? And how do we forgive? And so let's go ahead and read our theme scripture today, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. It says, love does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your great love for us that teaches us how to love others. Our prayer today, Lord, is as we get into the word, is that you would teach us, Lord, a different way from what we see in the world around us, that we might be that salt and light to bring impact and influence and transformation into the lives and the culture and the community around us. Lord, may your Holy Spirit speak to us today. May you convict us. May you change and transform us. May you encourage us and inspire us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're looking at love is number one, not irritable. What that basically means is love is not easily provoked. It's not easily angered. Another way of saying that is love is not grumpy. So you want to be a loving person? Be nice. Quit being rude. Quit being mean. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13 says this, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. So, because if you identify as a child of God, if you want to walk as a person accepted by God as a Christian, then you can't be grumpy. You have to be nice. You have to put on, the Bible says, clothe yourselves. In other words, put it on. It doesn't matter how you feel on the inside. It doesn't matter if you feel grumpy, if you feel angry, if you feel upset, people make you angry. You need to clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy. Be kind, be humble, be gentle, and be patient. Make allowance for other people's faults. Okay, so don't be irritable. Secondly, love is not resentful. And this is where we're really going to focus today, is on what does it mean to not be resentful? Well, the scripture, that word that's in the Greek that Paul uses, it means you don't keep an account of wrong. You don't keep score. You're not keeping record of how many times you've been wrong, who's done you wrong. You erase that. It's kind of like when a debt is forgiven, it's erased. It's off the books. You can't go back to it. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 9 says this, whoever forgives an offense seeks love, but whoever keeps bringing up the issue separates the closest of friends. In other words, if you keep repeating an offense, if you keep talking about some, the ways that people have offended you, what they've done wrong, the mistakes that they've made, the things, the ways that they've offended you, if you keep repeating those things, eventually that person's not going to be your friend anymore. And if you keep telling someone else about it, which the Bible calls gossip, if you talk to other people and say, you know what so-and-so did, you know what so-and-so did, and sometimes we couch that as Christians, we say, oh, you know, you need to pray for so-and-so, this is what they did, or, you know, I'm not quite sure if what they did was wrong, but let me tell you what they did. Well, all you're doing is giving opportunity for offense to come and to separate that person from the person that offended you. So the Bible says stop it, delete it, don't repeat it. Quit saying it. Let it go. From the famous words from Frozen. You just got to let it go. When someone wrongs you, whether it's intentional or unintentional, you just have to let it go. Delete it from your memory. Quit repeating it. Okay? So, delete it. Don't repeat it. And what we're going to find out is that to be not resentful basically means forgiving. Being forgiving. Forgive the other person. And so today we want to unpack, what does it mean to forgive? Forgiveness is not the same. First thing you want to know is forgiveness is not the same as reconciliation. See, sometimes it's easier to understand a thing by explaining what it is not. And so we're going to explain what forgiveness is not. It's not the same as reconciliation. In other words, forgiving someone doesn't necessarily mean that the relationship's going to be restored. Sometimes that other person is completely out of your life. That person who offended you, who you've not forgiven, they may have died. And so there's never going to be an opportunity to restore that relationship, but you can forgive them. Or the other person may just choose not to want to be reconciled with you. They may not want to be your friend. It doesn't mean that you can't forgive them. Where relationships are unavoidable though, where it's like if it's a family member or someone you work with, then you need to take steps towards reconciliation. But forgiveness is not the same as reconciliation, okay? For the offended person, forgiveness is the first step towards reconciliation, but it's not the same. Because for forgiveness to move to reconciliation, trust is required. And so this is the second thing. Forgiveness is not the same as trust. Trust takes time. It can be lost in an instant, but sometimes it can take a lifetime to be restored. And here's how you restore trust. If you're the person who offended someone, if you're the offending party, then you need to, number one, demonstrate genuine repentance. That means a change in attitude, change in behavior, genuine remorse. Number two, you need to make restitution. You need to take steps to make things right. And number three, if you want to restore trust, is you need to take the time and the steps to rebuild trust. In other words, rebuilding trust takes both time and consistent action in order to be restored. The next thing is that forgiving is not the same as forgetting. Some people say forgive and forget, and you haven't really forgiven until you begin to forget. Well, that's false. You may never forget the offense or the pain that it caused, but that doesn't mean that you can't forgive. It means that whenever you're reminded of the pain, whenever you're reminded of the offense, you choose instead to remember that you chose to forgive that offense. You chose to forgive that pain. It doesn't mean that you've forgotten that pain. Some pain is going to stick with you for a lifetime because it goes so deep. Some offenses that happen to you are so big that you won't ever forget that offense. But you can choose not to respond based on that pain or offense, but to respond to that person and see them through your choice to forgive them. So you see them through the lens of forgiveness rather than through the lens of your pain and offense. The next one is that forgiveness is not based on the behavior of the offender. You don't want to wait to forgive based on your estimation of whether or not the other person, the offender, is worthy of your forgiveness. You don't even want to have to wait till they ask for forgiveness, because what if they never ask for forgiveness? Then you're never going to forgive them, and then you're stuck in resentment and unforgiveness, and that's not good for you. See, forgiveness is not to benefit the offender, it's actually to benefit you. You're the primary beneficiary of forgiving someone else. And it's based on your choice, not on their action. So you alone control whether or not you're going to forgive someone else. Because just in the same way that love is a choice, since forgiveness is a part of love, forgiveness is a choice. The last thing in terms of defining what forgiveness is forgiveness does not include minimizing the offense or the pain caused. True forgiveness requires a full embrace, of the offense given, and a full recognition of the pain that it caused you. If you don't take the time to recognize the depth of the pain that it's caused you and the depth of the offense against you, then you can't fully forgive the other person. If you minimize the pain and the offense, then your forgiveness is also minimized, and it becomes just a surface forgiveness, not the kind of deep forgiveness that brings a release to your soul. That's why the Bible says, when we confess our sins, then he will forgive us our sins. Even God waits for us to confess our sins, and it's the full realization of the offense that brings the full forgiveness of the offense. Okay? So those are different principles that help us to understand what forgiveness is. Now we want to look at why should we forgive. Here's the first reason why you should forgive. Because God has forgiven you. And if you feel like God hasn't forgiven you, it's not because he won't forgive you, but because you either have not asked for his forgiveness or you've not received his forgiveness. Because the Bible says this in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he, that's God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not only does God forgive us, but the Bible says he goes into our hearts and he cleanses, he removes that offending nature inside of us, the unrighteous, the sin that we've done. He removes the underlying root of unrighteousness when we confess our sins to him. God goes on to say in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12, God says, for I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sins the more. It doesn't mean that God forgets the sins that we've done, but it says that he will never choose to view us through the lens of our sins. He will never choose to respond to us or to act toward us based on our sins, but rather based on Christ's righteousness. The second reason why we should forgive is because unforgiveness will destroy your life. Nelson Mandela said, resentment is like drinking poison and then hoping it will kill your enemies. You see, there are so many different psychological and tests and studies that have found that resentment, unforgiveness affect us in so many different ways. In fact, it's kind of like that, you know, at the end of these ads for different medicines, and they start reciting all the different ways that sickness can, or that medicine can hurt you. And then you wonder, why am I taking this medicine again? It can cause, you know, loss of memory, loss of life, you know, all these different things. Well, here's just a quick list of some of the ways that resentment and unforgiveness hurt us. They cause psychological damage, loss of memory, loss of ability to reason, loss of self-awareness, loss of awareness of others. They cause emotional damage, anxiety, depression, anger, just to name a few. Resentment and unforgiveness cause physical damage. They destroy our hormonal system, our immune system, our cardiovascular system, our gastrointestinal system. They cause social damage. They will damage your relationships with your friends, your family, your workmates, your neighbors, pretty much every relationship. For unforgiveness and resentment bring damage. And so you want to forgive because unforgiveness will destroy your life. The third and final reason why we forgive is because sooner or later, you're going to need forgiveness. And if you don't forgive others, God won't forgive you. That's pretty serious. If our salvation depends on God forgiving our sins, and if we don't forgive others, God won't forgive us, then that's a pretty serious issue. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. You know, every morning in our morning prayer time, 7 days a week, we pray through the Lord's Prayer. And one of the things that the Lord's Prayer says this is this in Matthew 6. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. If you don't forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And so that in the Lord's Prayer, it says, Father, forgive us as we forgive others. As we forgive others. That's a crazy prayer. But it's a principle in God's Word that if we don't forgive, we won't be forgiven. The third thing number three in our sermon today is we've talked about what does it mean to forgive. We've talked about why we should forgive. And now we're going to look at how do we forgive instead of resent. First of all, you need to decide to forgive immediately, unconditionally, and without limit. And this is something you want to do before offense comes. Mark chapter 11, verse 25 says this, "Whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses." So whenever you're praying, and if you're reminded of an offense that you've done or you've held, immediately make that thing right. Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22. Peter came up to Jesus and he said, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?" And Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times." So Peter thought he was being pretty gracious and forgiving, because the law, Jewish law, only required that you forgive a person three times. And so he says, "I'm going to double that and then add one more for good measure, because seven is like the number of completion. If I forgive seven times, then Jesus is going to be so impressed with how forgiving I am." And Jesus said, "Doesn't even come close." He said 77 times. Other translations say 70 times seven, which would be 490 times. In other words, what Jesus is saying, you just unlimited forgiveness. No matter how many times someone offends you, you forgive them. So you forgive immediately. Even if you're in the middle of prayer, God says, stop that. Go and forgive. Unconditionally. Doesn't matter how many times or what they've done to you, you just forgive. The Bible doesn't say anywhere here, depending on if it's a forgivable sin, then you go forgive them. If it's a forgivable offense, if it's not too bad. The Bible says, whatever it is, and this is a choice that you make before offense comes. You say, I want to live the way that God called. I want to be a forgiving person. No matter how someone offends me, no matter how many times they offend me, I'm going to always choose to forgive. That's a commitment you make up front. Secondly, you give up your right to revenge. Romans chapter 12, verse 19 says, "Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." God is the best avenger. And you just need to leave the vengeance, the revenge, up to God. That way you can forgive anybody and trust God that whatever vengeance is needed, God will take care of it. In the meantime, you can live free of resentment, free of unforgiveness, free of waiting and hoping that the other person will pay the price for what they did to you. Rather, you can completely forgive them and live free of that. So how do you know you've truly forgiven someone? Well, Luke chapter 6, verse 27 and 28 says this, "But I say to you, hear, to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you." So what is it saying here? Number one, love your enemies. When you can love the person who offended you, you've truly forgiven them. Secondly, do good to those who hate you. When you can do good to the person who offended you, you've truly forgiven. Bless those who curse you. In other words, when you can bless the person who has offended you, you've truly forgiven them. And lastly, pray for those who abuse you. When you can pray for your offender, you've truly forgiven them. So when you begin to see the hurt behind them, you might say, "You don't understand how deeply I've been abused by this person. How you don't know what they've done to me." And that's true. I don't know what someone's done to you. I don't know how they've abused you, but God does. And what God asks us to do is see behind the hurt that they've caused you to the hurt that's in them, and begin to pray for them, to see them the way that God sees them. And see, what that takes is a transformation in our hearts, to begin to see the way that God loves them. I am so sorry for the ways that you've been hurt, the ways that you've been abused, the ways that you've been offended. But I can tell you today that God knows the offense and the abuse that's happened to you. And he loves you, and he will heal that. But if you hold on to unforgiveness, if you hold on to offense, what that does is it kills a part of your heart. And it lessens the amount of love that you're able to receive and able to give. To the amount that you hold on to resentment, bitterness, and unforgiveness is the amount that you prevent God from being able to fill your heart with love. To that extent is the amount that you're going to prevent yourself from being able to fully love others. And to that extent, you're going to prevent God from being able to fully walk you into the full destiny that he has for you, because that destiny is always it's always wrapped up in the amount that you're able to receive God's love and to love others in return. And so don't let others, don't let your past, don't let the people, your enemies and the people who offend you, don't let them limit the amount of love that you can receive. Don't let them limit your destiny and the future that God has for you. Don't let them limit the amount of influence and impact that you can have in sharing the love of God that God pours into your heart, into the lives of others. That's why no matter how you've been attacked, abused, hurt, you can choose unilaterally to forgive. You can choose to be healed in your heart. So here's how we can know that we've truly forgiven, according to Luke 6, 27, 28, when we can love people, do good to them, bless them, and pray for them. Another way that we can know that we've truly forgiven is when we can love and forgive people as God loved and forgave us. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 through 32 says this: "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you." So in other words, in the same way that Jesus commanded us and said, from now on, you have to love others the same way that I loved you. Jesus is here, God is here saying that you have to forgive others the same way that I've forgiven you. Well, you can say, that seems impossible. Because the way that God forgave us, he forgave us before we were even born. I mean, God, and God forgave us through giving his son's life, to paying any price for our forgiveness. And it's true that it's super difficult to love the way that God loves, to love our enemies, to be able to pray for the people who have abused us on a human terms. And if we look at the world around us today, we think, man, that's impossible. That's nothing like what we see in the world around us today. We don't see do good to those who've done bad to you. We see do evil to those who've done evil to you. And here's the truth. The only way that we can love others the way that God has loved us is when we receive the love that God has for us. It's only through the power of Christ. And so today, we've talked about not being irritable, not being resentful, and we've said that not being resentful means that we need to be forgiving. And to understand, we unpacked what it means to forgive. We unpacked why we forgive and how we forgive. And the only way that we can truly forgive is through the power of Jesus, God's forgiveness for us. And the Bible says that only happened through Christ, through what he did for us on the cross. And so today, I think there's no better way to end this sermon, this time together, than by taking communion together. Because it's in communion that we remember what it costs God to forgive us. Because forgiveness is going to be costly. Letting go of that pain that other people have caused you, letting go of the offense and abuse, and loving in return is costly and it's difficult. And we can only do it through the power of the cross and the way that Jesus forgave us. So at this time, if you would go ahead and get communion elements, whatever you might have, whatever juice you might have, or if you just have water, maybe a cracker, a bread, something to partake. And we're going to partake of communion together, remembering the cost that Jesus paid for us to be forgiven. Because it's as we receive that love of God, as we remember, that's going to be the power that allows you to forgive others. So here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26 says this: "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." You know, it seems strange maybe that we would be proclaiming Christ's death rather than his resurrection. But the reason why we proclaim Christ's death is because it's through his death that the Bible says we have true fellowship. Because it's only through his death that our sins are forgiven, that we're forgiven. And it's only through his death, by recognizing and entering into his death and the price that he paid for us, the pain that he undertook so that we could be forgiven, that we are then willing to walk through the same pain to forgive others. And it's only as we understand the cost of God's love for us that we're willing to pay the cost of forgiving others. So if you go ahead and take the cup, the scripture says this, that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, in his moment of deepest betrayal and pain, he took the cup and he gave thanks. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. And do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And the Bible says there's a covenant that God has made for us that when we partake of this cup, God will not only forgive us our sins, but he's going to give us new hearts. He's going to transform our minds so that we can see other people and love them the way that he loved us. So let's partake of the cup. Heavenly Father, we pray, bless the cup now as we partake. And Lord, as we partake of this cup, will you forgive us of our sins? And will you renew our hearts? In Jesus' name we pray. Let's partake of the cup. The scripture also says that Jesus took the bread and he said, "This bread is my body, which is broken for you." And the scripture says that it's through his broken body that we experience healing. And today, as we partake of communion, my prayer for you is not only will you experience the forgiveness that comes from God through his covenant with us, but that you will also experience healing in your emotions, healing of your soul, healing of your physical body, because our unforgiveness, bitterness, and resentment can cause damage to our physical bodies. And my prayer for you today is, as we partake of the bread, that healing will come, not only to your relationships, not only to your emotions, but even to your physical bodies. So would you join with me? Heavenly Father, we pray a blessing on the bread, the body of Christ that was broken so that we could be made whole. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's partake of the bread. So I want to say thank you once again for joining with us and bringing us into your homes, into your living rooms, your kitchen tables. I hope that the word that we shared today was helpful for you. And I hope that as I was sharing the word, as God brought to you different people who either have offended you or who you've offended, that some of what we said today is practical enough that you can take steps to bring forgiveness to others. I want to pray for you. Heavenly Father, I pray right now that you will bring to remembrance of each one places in their lives where they've either been offended or offended others. And that, Lord God, they would go to either give forgiveness, they would grant forgiveness, and also, Lord God, that they would go to seek forgiveness. And that, Lord, they would walk in the blessing and the freedom that comes from living without bitterness, without resentment, without unforgiveness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I have a few discussion questions that I'd like you to, you can maybe take a screenshot of the questions on the screen and to go over these with someone today, this week. The first question is this: on a scale of 1 to 10, how irritable are you? What can you do to lower that level? Second question: What stood out to you the most about forgiveness from today's message? Third question, what is the most compelling reason for why you should forgive? And the last one, pause for a moment and consider if you need to forgive anyone today. What's the biggest challenge to forgiving them? And what is one thing you can do to choose forgiveness today? The Lord bless you. Have a great week.
You've been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.